In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, light of the world, we believe that you want to be close to us. We believe that you want your divine light to shine in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, to renew us, to heal us, to strengthen us, to transform us, to set us free, so that we can love, so that we can be loved, and share your love and your light with others, so that we too, along with you, can make your kingdom present in the world. We pray, Holy Spirit, come. Grant us your knowledge and wisdom and understanding, especially as we pray. Grant us the gift of prayer, of piety, of awe and wonder, of fortitude. Increase our faith and hope and love. Jesus, we believe that you have good gifts in store for us here during this time of prayer. Jesus, we believe that you want to be close to us, that you want to touch us, that you want to heal us. Jesus, we hope in you. We hope in your mercy. We trust in your mercy. We trust that you want to forgive us. We trust that you want to set us free. We trust that you have a future and a hope in store for us. We trust that the best is yet to come. Jesus, we trust that you make all things new. Jesus, we believe that you have called us here to be with you, to receive your blessing, your grace and mercy, your divine life. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sharing this divine life with us. Thank you for wanting to be our friend. Thank you for bringing us up the mountain this weekend to be with you, to be in your presence. We ask you once again, Jesus, to show us new things. Holy Spirit, show us new things about God and about ourselves, about our lives. Show us new things and make all things new. We ask all this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to skip a number and read number 2712, 2712, 2712 from the Catechism on Contemplative Prayer. It is the prayer of the child of God, of the forgiven sinner, who agrees to welcome the love by which he is loved, and who wants to respond to it, by loving even more. But he knows that the love he is returning is poured out by the Spirit in his heart, for everything is grace from God. Contemplative prayer is the poor and humble surrender to the loving will of the Father in even deeper union with his beloved Son. Contemplative prayer is the prayer of the child of God. Again, our identity. I know who I am, and I may not know it perfectly or fully or completely, but I make an act of faith in that. Abba, Father, Daddy, I believe that I'm your beloved daughter. I believe that I'm your beloved son. That you want to have a relationship with me, that you want to speak to me. And that I can hear your voice. I can receive your communication. Because you've designed me that way. To receive your communication. I believe that I am forgiven for all that I have asked forgiveness for. And I agree to welcome the love by which I am loved. I come into agreement with what you want for me. Lord, I come into agreement with your love for me, with your desire to love me and to redeem me and restore me and strengthen me and glorify me. But I know that whatever I can return to you, it's your gift. You've given it to me. So I'm just returning back to you what I've already received from you. Because without you, I can do nothing. Everything is grace. So Lord, we surrender. We yield to you, Lord. We yield to you.
Just a little snapshot here. I can't get into it too much, but let me read from the very first chapter of the Song of Songs. I've done whole retreats on this that you can listen to on my podcast, but chapter 1, verse 2. Let him, of the Song of Songs, let him smother me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. So that's Old Testament, but it's already a reference to the Trinity. Let him, God, kiss me with the kisses, the Holy Spirit, of his mouth, the Word of God, Jesus. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. But the let him, it's the yielding, it's the surrendering, it's let it be done to me according to your word. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. So there is what is our part? What is your part? It's this yielding, it's giving God permission, it's surrendering. A lot of different ways to say that. But that is what God is always waiting for. He's always knocking on the door, but as that classic painting shows, there's no door handle on the outside. You have to let him in. You have to let him in. So I thought we would transition here to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. It's a beautiful chapter in the life of Jesus. And so on some level, we're moving on from week one, even more so, transitioning into week two of the spiritual exercises. There's so much that we can't really spend time on, but we're hitting the highlights. And again, I think this chapter 9 of Matthew's Gospel paints a beautiful picture of who Jesus is and what he came to do. He came to save us from our sins, to heal us from our sins, and to give us new life. So it's twofold, and we're going to focus more on the healing part right now, because I think it reflects so beautifully his heart, his compassion, his mercy for us. And it's important that we know that. It's important that we experience that, because we are broken. It's true. And we experience our brokenness, our poverty, our neediness. But he comes to heal that, to redeem that, to restore that. And he also comes to give us more new life, resurrected life, glorified life, transfigured life. And that's the part we're going to focus on this afternoon and tonight and tomorrow morning. So we're almost skipping over week three, the Passion, because tomorrow's Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday anyway, and into next week is Holy Week, so you're going to get a lot of that. But what I want to help us appreciate is the new life that God gives us. As Christians, we are new creatures, so there's something supernatural about our lives that God wants us to grow in, so that we're not just stuck in this world with this, not only with this view or this vision, but with the limited power, so to speak, and authority that the world has to offer us. And so he wants to give us supernatural power and authority from on high. He's already given it, but he wants us to walk in it more and more. And I think that's what so many of us, myself included, haven't yet fully tapped into. There's so much more that we can tap into, that we can walk in, that we can live out as supernatural beings in this world, but not of this world, that we can tap into. And so even chapter 9 shows us Jesus doing this. Because it's true, he's the Son of God, he's divine, but he really did strip himself of his divinity when he became a man. And he's still a divine person, don't get me wrong, but he chose to rely on the anointing he received at his baptism in order to carry out his public mission, his public ministry, his saving mission. So he was trying to model for us how we can live life in the Spirit. So Matthew chapter 9, he heals a paralytic. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on his bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." So again, it was sin that caused death and pain and suffering and sickness and illness and disease. We can't forget that. All of these things entered into the world because of sin. So we can't blame God for all of the chaos in the world. It was our fault. It was our fault, not God's fault. Right? He's the solution to all the problems. He's the solution to all the problems, but he's not the source of the problems. Sin is the source of all of our problems. "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, take up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. So the Father gave this authority, so to speak, to the Son to forgive sins and to heal the effects of sin. He's demonstrating this power. And as I've learned, in general, whenever Jesus proclaimed the gospel, it was accompanied with a demonstration of divine power. It's all over the gospel. You can't not read the gospel now and think of this paradigm of sorts. The proclamation of the gospel was accompanied with a demonstration of divine power, and that led to faith in Jesus. That led to faith in Jesus. Not just his preaching, but the power and the demonstration of that divine power that accompanied it. And of course, the resurrection then is the miracle of miracles. That's the demonstration of divine power par excellence. Go ahead, crucify me. Go ahead, bury me. Watch this. 3 days later, boom! I will rise from the dead. Whoa, never seen that before. Never seen that before. So Jesus has this power to heal the effects of sin. But it's more than that too, right? Let's keep going. The call of Matthew. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." "Matthew, son of Alphaeus." "Who, me?" Yes, you follow me, you know. And he rose and followed him. And as he sat at table in the house of Matthew, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. That's the heart of our God. That's the heart of our God. Then they questioned him about fasting. This is interesting. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. And no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. This is symbolic of our hearts and the Holy Spirit. Jesus can't put the Holy Spirit, his spirit, into old crusty hearts. That's why you have to keep asking him to make your heart new. Jesus, give me new wineskins. Give me a new heart that can receive the new wine that you want to give me. So this is related to his first miracle ever at Cana, where he turned water into wine. And it wasn't just any wine. It was the best wine they had ever tasted. So he's saving, what does that mean? He's saving the best for last. He's saving the best for last. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Make an act of faith in that. Jesus, I believe that the best is yet to come. Jesus, give me new wineskins. Give me a new heart, Lord. And pour this new wine into me. We'll listen to that song later. New wine. Beautiful. For where there is new wine, there is new power. There is new freedom. And the kingdom is here. I give you my old flame to carry your new fire today. So Jesus is doing something new. He's doing something new. And look at this. He keeps doing something new. While he was thus speaking to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died. But come and lay your hand on her and she will live. The faith of this man. The faith of this man. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I shall be made well. Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith in me has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a tumult, he said, depart, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. Talitha kum. Little girl, I say to you, arise.
And you might want to say that to that inner child, that inner little girl inside of you this weekend. Little girl, let Jesus speak it to her even better. You and Jesus together. Look at that little girl inside of you and say, little girl, I say to you, arise. It's time to be born again. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. God is here. Jesus goes on, as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly charged them, "See that no one knows it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. So you see the importance of faith highlighted here. The importance of faith. So Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, increase my faith. And again, make acts of faith. Make acts of faith. Jesus, I believe you can heal me. Jesus, I believe you can raise me up to new life. Jesus, I believe you can heal my heart. Jesus, I believe you can renew my mind. That's one level, and then it goes deeper and deeper. As we get to know him and we get to know ourselves, he goes deeper and deeper. The healing goes deeper. Think of a tree, if you will, the roots of the tree. So the healing goes deeper so that the roots are stronger, which enables the tree to grow higher and mature. So they're directly related. As the healing goes deeper, the maturity, the growth goes higher, and the tree becomes more fruitful. So we need both healing and maturity. We'll talk more about that tomorrow, but I just put that out there. Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. Lord, I want to see. We're all blind to some degree because sin blinds us. Sin does different things. When we sin, it darkens our intellect. So it makes us blind. On some level, sin blinds us. It twists our hearts. It makes us cynical. Makes us fearful. And it weakens our will. It weakens our will. And it distorts the image that we have of God and of ourselves. So that's why I pray, Lord, please restore and perfect the image that I have of you. And please restore and perfect the image that I have of myself. They're very much related. Lord, please restore and perfect the image that I have of you. And please restore and perfect the image that I have of myself. Show me, Lord. Open my eyes. I want to see. I want to see you. I want to love you. I want to see and love in myself what you see and love in me. That's a good little prayer. Lord, help me to see and love in myself what you see and love in me. He's not done. As they were going away, behold, a mute demoniac was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." which makes no sense, as he points out elsewhere.
So here, he's demonstrating that he has power over evil spirits, over Satan and his minions.
So again, it's good to be aware that we're in a battle. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle.
We don't have to be afraid of the devil, but we better be aware of his existence and how he operates. So how does he operate? Again, he's the father of lies. So the devil, first and foremost, is going to attack your mind, your intellect. And your imagination. And your emotions. So the devil can go after all of that. He has some access to your mind. He has some access to your heart. To your imagination.
It's good to know that, because sometimes we'll have a thought and we'll be like, oh my gosh, where did that thought come from?
Well, if you weren't thinking about that or have no interest in thinking about that, it probably came from the devil, who's probably just trying to rattle your cage a little bit.
And when you sense that an encounter with your spouse or your child is about to escalate from 0 to 100 in about 2 seconds, it's probably the devil. Because he can fuel that anger and that resentment and that bitterness inside of you to the point where you want to rip off his head. Right? The devil can do that. Why do people put bullets through people's heads? That's not a human action, right? I mean, they carry it out, but that's the hatred and of the devil. Right? So why do you say certain things at certain times that are so hurtful to the people you love the most? It's the devil getting in you, taking over. So be aware of that. Be aware of that. Call on the Holy Spirit. Call on the blood of Jesus. Call on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. I am about to unleash hell on this person. Help me not to do that. Because that's not going to help me. It's not going to help this person that I love. And I don't want to be an agent of Satan. God help me. God help me. And that's... We can't blame the devil, right? Don't get me wrong. We can't blame the devil. But just be aware of who's at work. And we got to choose sides. That's one of the meditations we don't really have time for, but I can just put it out there, right? They call it the two standards, the two banners, right? Who's the two flags, right? The two sides. Whose flag are you going to fight for? Which side are you on? And you have to choose. You can't ride the fence. When you wake up in the morning, who are you going to fight for? Whose side are you on? Jesus, I want to be on your side. I want to be on the winning team. Jesus, may everything I do today be for your kingdom. May everything I say and do advance the ball for the kingdom of God. And, you know, we all fumble, you know, we all drop the ball sometimes. To use the football analogy, you know, we might come back to the huddle and scream at somebody on our own team. I've done that more than a few times, you know. What were you thinking? So God, please help me to fight the good fight. His day is not over. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity. There it is right there. Proclamation plus demonstration leads to faith in Jesus. Let me read that again. This is 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity. And that's what led to faith in Jesus. That's what we need to recapture today in 2024. That's the kind of Christianity that we are called to live, especially as Regnum Christi members. We're not monks and you know, cloistered nuns in Regnum Christi, right? There's a place for that, and that's a beautiful thing. That's not your vocation. You're meant to be out here proclaiming the gospel and performing these signs and wonders. We're called to be apostles. We're called to make the kingdom of God present, to manifest the kingdom. And what gives you authority to do such a thing? Compassion. Here we go. Next line, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And the Greek word here, because I've given this talk elsewhere, is splachnitzomai. He had splachnitzomai, which is this gut-wrenching compassion for the people. It moved him to the core. It hurt. He hurt for his people. Splachnitzomai. That's what will, in a sense, give you the authority to pray for healing, to cast out demons. You do it out of love. You do it out of love. Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Sounds like 2024 to me. Just walk through any high school or college campus and surrounded by people who are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." That's you and me. That's you and me. He's calling us to be his co-laborers, his collaborators, his co-workers. He's calling us to manifest the kingdom of God through our lives. He wants to live his resurrected life with you and in you and, yes, through you. So I got a little distracted last talk. I didn't quite finish the way God sees us and his paradigm for our identity, but it flows right into what we're saying here. So we said the world's paradigm is I do, I have, I am. But God's paradigm is turning that around. I am, I have, I do. So I am a child of God. I have access to redemption in Christ Jesus. I have access to everything in the Father's house because my citizenship is in heaven. And because of that, I can do the works of God. And as Jesus said, in, as it's recorded in John 14:12, and even greater works will you do. And he's not just talking about or talking to the apostles. Again, he's talking to you. Yeah, I am, I have, I do. That's the gospel paradigm. I am, I have, I do.
I am a child of God. I have access to everything in the Father's house. I have redemption in Christ. I have new life through him and with him and in him. And because of that, I can do the works of God. But most of us weren't taught this way. Most of us were not taught this way. We were taught, to use other words, right? You better behave, if you want to use three B's, right? We were taught, you better behave, and you better believe me because I said so, right? And then you can belong. So it's all conditional. No wonder we're so nervous. I just want to get to heaven. I just want to belong. Woman, you already belong. Woman, you already belong. And because you belong to me, because I am yours and you are mine, I'm asking you to believe me and to have faith in me. As I've already revealed myself to you, the proper response to this revelation is faith. So please believe me, not because I said so, but because I've shown you, because I came down and I'm demonstrating who I am and what I'm all about by my works. I'm healing every infirmity and casting out demons. So don't just believe me because I said so. Believe me because I'm showing you. I'm revealing it to you. Yeah, I believe. And now you can do the works of God. You can do the works of God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul talks about this. From death to life with Christ. That's the title of chapter 2. Let's pick it up. Verse 4. But God, this is Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, with which he showed us, revealed to us, manifested to us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. Not by your works. Not by your works. And raised us up with him and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's already been done. You've already got a seat in the Father's house. It's already done. It's already been done. That in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Again, he repeats it. And this is not your own doing. This is not based on your behavior. Get this. Get this. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. Get this. This is unbelievable. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. What does that mean? It's just so easy. It's just like walking. You don't even have to think about it. You don't even have to think about it. It's just so easy because I'm living in Christ, in the Spirit. And he's alive in me. Lord, I'm available. You make me able. Here I am. Let's go manifest the kingdom today. Let's give him heaven. Don't give him hell. Give him heaven. Give him heaven. Give him heaven. But I'm afraid it was often presented to us and we were under the impression that we first and foremost had to behave. We had to behave. And we had to believe just because someone told us so. So that we could belong. So that we could get to heaven. That's demonic. That's demonic. Because it's a lie. It's a lie. That's not the gospel. But that's the way it's been presented. Sadly. Sadly. This is, what do we call this right now? Renewal of the mind. Like, whoa. Oh, God, help me. Why do kids who go to Catholic school for 12 years end up not going to Mass when they're in college or when they're young adults? One of the reasons, I think, is because of this. Because this is the paradigm we shoved down their throats. You better behave and you better believe it because I said so, so that you can belong. Well, you know what I think of that? You know? That doesn't sound like good news to me. Doesn't sound like good news to me. Sounds like a drag. That's not the God I want to believe in. I can't blame them. It's not the God I want to believe in either. I don't want to believe in that God. So they don't. So kudos to them, in a sense. But now we got to help them find the true God. We got to help them find the true God. We need to help them experience the true God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Manifest his power, his love, and his mercy right in their face. So God, help us to get a taste. As the psalm says, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Lord, I want to taste and see your goodness. Like the sweetest of wines, or like maybe you don't like sweet wine, so whatever. Just the best wine ever. Just the best wine ever. I want to taste it. I want to feel it. I want to experience it for myself. Because God wants your faith to rest on experience. He wants your faith to rest on experience of him, personal experience of him. And when you read the gospel with that lens, you see it. And he's repeating it. We just heard it. If I'm not mistaken, yesterday, the gospel at Mass. Yeah. John 10, verses 31 to 42. That was the gospel read at Mass yesterday. So, the Jews picked up rocks to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, I've shown you many good works from my Father. So I've shown you, I've revealed this to you, I've manifested this to you. For which of these are you trying to stone me? The Jews answered him, we are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If it calls them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be set aside, can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. So if I'm not showing you, if I'm not revealing it to you, then don't believe me. Jesus himself is saying it. So our young people today kind of have a beef. Show me the miracles. Manifest this kingdom of God for me if you want me to believe. What's Jesus saying? If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. How about that? It's John 10, the end of John 10. And he says it elsewhere too. So God wants to show you And he then, in turn, wants you to show others a supernatural kind of life. Supernatural, divine, flowing in your veins. And as you have those experiences of him, he wants you to make an act of faith in that. I think I just heard God. I think I just felt him. I think I just experienced a miracle or some kind of providential encounter with God. It's sad as a spiritual director, confessor, how many times I hear people doubting their own experience of God. Oh, because I'm not good enough. Oh, why would God speak to me? Why would God want to heal me? Or why would he want to heal through me? Because he loves you. Pretty plain and simple. We complicate it. We disqualify ourselves because we let the enemy convince us that we have been disqualified. So Jesus is telling us that you belong, we belong, and he's asking us to respond in faith to what he has shown us, to what he has done for us. And then he invites us to go out and do what he did, and even greater works than he did. And to live a supernatural kind of love and lifestyle. With incredible patience, with incredible compassion, with incredible wisdom and understanding. It's all there. You have access to all of that. But he's not going to make you do it. He's not going to make you go to Mass. He's not going to make you go out there and minister to all kinds of people. He's not going to make you do it, but he's asking you to do it. He's inviting you to do it, but not to do it alone or on your own power or your own talent, but by his grace, by his grace. Close with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for preaching the good news. Thank you for demonstrating your divine power and love in our lives. During your life, during our lives. Lord, we want to see more. We want to see more and more so we can believe more and more, so we can demonstrate more and more your love, your mercy, your power, your glory. We ask all you holy apostles, St. Matthew, St. Peter, St. John, and St. James, St. Andrew, St. Jude. We ask all of you to pray for us. And Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, Martha, Mary, all those holy women who followed Jesus in the early days, pray for us. And all the holy men and women who have lived throughout the ages, who have known who they are and who God is and lived that to the hilt. The John Paul IIs and Mother Cabrinis of the world. Help us to walk in Christ, to live out this supernatural lifestyle and intimacy with God that God is calling us to live. Heavenly Father, we ask all this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.